You are unique, active, determined, resilient. You are not your diagnosis, and you are not alone. This is Young Onset Parkinson's Network. We believe young onset Parkinson's disease does not define you. You define it. We are a safe place to learn, connect, and engage within a supportive community that actually gets it, because we've got it too. Welcome to Young Onset Parkinson's Network. Living well starts here.
Together for Sharon. We started on 1/1/2020 when my mother unfortunately passed away due to Parkinson's disease. We had an idea how to spread awareness for Parkinson's disease and hope for a cure so future families would never have to go through what my mother or my family did. The name Together for Sharon was created by my wife. She came up with it and it sounded perfect for what we're trying to do, and that's everyone band together for my mother's memory and for Parkinson's awareness, which it states on the band, and also this is the flower representing Parkinson's awareness or the disease. And then on the inside, it's a memory of my mother, Sharon Ackerman. So these are some of the three major parts of why I won't stop until we have a cure. The idea of the bands or the bracelets for my mother and for Parkinson's and for the cure, I hope for a cure, and for all the millions of individuals going through this infliction, this disease, was brought to me when I provided one to my sister-in-law's boyfriend, and he just took a picture and sent it to me, and that started the whole idea. Why don't I try to get these bracelets or bands in memory of my mother and for Parkinson's awareness and hope for a cure around the world? And today, in only 1 month or so far in the short time we've started, it's already reached around the country. Unfortunately, I will admit myself, before I heard of Parkinson's disease 15 years ago, I had no clue what it was or even aware of it. So I feel that's the pivotal problem. It's really a concern that only individuals inflicted or the families who have Parkinson's are the ones who are aware, and we need to change that. And I challenge you to also spread the word for awareness and hope. And I'll be out there day and night on behalf of memory of my mother, Sharon Ruth Ackerman, until we are all satisfied with the cure.
We start off the program with George speaking about his mother.
Sure, my mother was diagnosed, unfortunately, probably when she was alive, so I'd say 16, 17 years prior. Unfortunately, she lost her battle of Parkinson's on 1/1/2020. So the last year was the toughest as a caregiver for myself. I was kind of thrown into it. I had no training. I don't think anyone ever does. But when you see a loved one going through what I did, and obviously everyone, the rare thing about Parkinson's is that everybody is so different going through the battle and the diagnosis. But I wasn't really aware much or even knew what Parkinson's was for many years. I'd say about 14. My mother had a slight issue with her left arm. She had trouble moving it. But she was able to still live an independent life, still able to drive, shop, and really, unfortunately, hit a lot of the problems until it all really just caught up and was too much. We started noticing she went towards the last year, the beginning of the last year of her life, to a study done. And we were out of ideas. We tried everything. We tried several doctors. We tried, you know, everything from acupuncture to chiropractor to therapy to you can name it. And unfortunately, she went to a study which we thought would help. They changed her medications too drastically, we think. And from that point, that last year down to the final day, was just a downward spiral. She kind of went from being independent to needing to rely on me 24/7. And I was honored to be able to be in that situation, because I feel she sacrificed her life to make me what I am today.
As she began the decline, and you were talking about not really knowing a lot about it, and that was throughout the beginning of her illness, correct?
And I'm a doctor, but not a medical. I always say we're just talking today about my experiences and my mother's, but she started to kind of lose weight. She started Also, she had fibromyalgia, so she would complain about back pain, but she had dystonia signs of the curling of the toes. And then, unfortunately, the dementia started. That was the toughest part. Obviously, the diagnosis is tough, but the mental issues, such as the hallucinations and the those were the hardest. Because I remember one time I have three children and her grandchild, Brooke, my oldest, she was about 6 or 7 at the time. We were all just sitting at her on her bed, just hanging out on a Sunday morning. My mother started to hug the towel and said she loves Brooke so much, but and Brooke just didn't know what, I didn't even know how to explain it. And those were kind of some of the things she would never had before. So also the hallucinations I noticed that night, I had to actually rush my mother to the hospital when they changed her medication drastically. And it was probably one of the toughest nights of my life. And I've been through many different things and experiences and work. But she, I found her at 4 a.m. moving her furniture out of her house because she thought someone was inside trying to harm her. It was about 4 a.m. So I rushed over, brought her to the emergency room. They said she also had a UTI. And it was just, if I didn't bring her that night, she wouldn't have made it. But what was even more tough for me, after I went back to her home, pick up some clothes, I noticed around the whole room was like almost a horror movie, in my opinion. There were post-it notes everywhere. And on the notes were names of animals and people in my family who passed and who are still with us. And she wrote who was alive and who was no longer with us. So you can see the how the effects of the mind really are challenged with this neurological disorder.
How old were you when your mother was diagnosed? How and how old was your mother?
I'd say it's a great question. She passed at age 69, which to me is extremely too young. And so I would say about 54, 52, she might have. So it was a long journey. But like I said, my mother was very independent, positive. She always, even doing this advocacy, she would say, George, don't waste your time. Stay with your kids and stay with the family. She was really kind of sacrifice, you know, that's the best word. She was selfless. She wanted us to just, you know, concentrate on the kids. But unfortunately, I wish I had known. Not that I regret anything, because I don't think looking back, I don't think I could have done anything different. I was really, you know, there 24/7. It was not easy. We spent $12,000 a month on caretakers, just trying to watch over her. She had a lot of stomach issues caused, like major stomach issues. Also, just the biggest complication is trusting some other person to make sure she has her medications at the same time the doctor says, and did they give the amount that's right? And it was just, you know, an ongoing struggle and a fight every day.
So when you say, you said, and I read on the website too, you know, died from complications of Parkinson's, or because, you know, what we read is that it's not the Parkinson's necessarily that gets us. It could be any amount of different things that could happen.
Yeah, I've thought about that since Michael J. Fox released his movie, and there was a lot of some upset because of what he said. He doesn't feel he'll live till 85, which isn't true for everyone. So with my situation, my mother, she had no medical issues at all. But I do agree that obviously the medicines could have caused something else, and then the dementia. So I'm not saying I'm not a doctor again, so I can't tell exactly what. But I know before we started with the Parkinson's diagnosis, she had no issues really her whole life. But then when she got diagnosed and then these other things started coming, it definitely could be a complication of Parkinson's or medications. Because when she passed, we had garbage bags full. It was really like so sad and depressing to throw out, you know, from our home, and we had to clean our home out. But I found garbage bags of medicines, and it was just a human body cannot really handle those types of things, in my opinion. The other thing is, we were in a way a little lucky. They have now hospice long-term care because we never had home of long-term medical coverage. We didn't, no one plans for this, so we were lucky enough to be qualified. So that helped a little. The problem with that is, as we all know, and I'm learning, is I learn every day something new from everyone I meet. But moving and exercise is very important to decrease the speed and the, you know, motion of the disease. But She was told that once you enter hospice, which now again, long term, not short term, you're not allowed to have physical therapy. And she always had hope that she'd be able to, she would always say, I want to live to be at my daughter's, her granddaughter's wedding. And unfortunately, once they stopped the therapy, it really, you lose hope as a individual with Parkinson's. It was
Well,
really tough.
we both have young onset, Michael
Right.
and I, and everyone else that's on the show. So, what you're talking about is exactly what we do as far as the movement and keeping moving at all times. And so, was there a time, it sounds like it, like, was there a time where she was able to exercise or do, keep moving and,
Yeah, I want to thank both of you and everyone on your show and listening, because I know it sounds odd and you don't really know me, but I do feel like we're very close together and we're family. And I might have obviously lost my mother, who is my best friend, but I do feel I've gained some inspiring individuals in my life. And Michael and I speak a lot, and I just find you all to be really an inspiration. I don't do any of this for anything but advocate for a cure. And that's like my big message, even if I, at the end, if you say, everyone always says, well, that's my big message, is really want everyone, including both of you, to know there are people like me who do just send our love and support, and we literally want nothing in return. But to get back to your question, I think that the most important thing, again, is moving, exercise. She did have like a machine where you can use the hands, and so she would definitely try. I even built her own gym. Luckily, I work hard, so we were able to keep her close. We bought her a brand new house across our street, and my dream was that for 10 years she'd at least be able to sit in the backyard, look at the lake, and just have a nice, quiet life. After 1 year, didn't happen, but that's why I continue to try and remember her.
well, one thing is that let me and all of us would take our hat off to you because the caregivers sometimes get lost in this world and we tend to be, you get overlooked. So can you talk a little bit about, being the caregiver and how you as a caregiver tried to keep yourself above, the water, your head above water?
Yeah, I felt really lonely. I mean, that was the biggest, toughest thing. I tried everything I could do, but we were so limited with time. My background is I'm an attorney and a police officer reserve. I also have a PhD. I teach criminal justice around the country. But all that to me didn't matter, because even today, I wouldn't have had those accomplishments if it wasn't for my mother. So that's why I put out. I mean, there are nights you'll probably breathe if you see my post, but I don't sleep. Like even last night, just thinking about what else I could have done, or what, how we could have found a cure quicker. But to answer again your question, there's just no real answer I can give you. I felt like when you go to law school, they say, you get an internship, but they just throw you into court. That's how I felt. I really just jumped into it. I would never look back. I just sat there with a I actually wrote a journal, and right now I'm actually writing my first book in this field of Parkinson's awareness. But I had kept notes, like a few sentences of journal every night for a year of what was going through, and it was very, very tough. But I just tried. I called a lot of organizations. Unfortunately, Michael J. Fox Foundation, I love them, but they don't have much presence in the Boca area of Florida, South Florida. The Parkinson's Foundation at the time, again, was just starting. And the only one that did show up at our house, which meant a lot, was the American Parkinson's Disease Association.
APDA.
I mean, one lady, I'll never forget, her name was Rebecca. It was just a pleasure. They offered programs like the boxing. It was too late for us, but just knowing that at least she was a voice. And as of today, in 3 years, our own family has raised donations over $10,000 for the cause. We don't accept donations to us at all. And every year we still continue to donate. My dream is to give more than 50,000 by the time I am not around anymore. But I mean, I hope we have a cure, so we don't have to do this further.
George, let's step back a little bit. I had some good stories about your mom, you growing up. What was she like as a mother?
And these questions are just amazing, because I never really get a chance to say a lot of that. My mother was an incredible woman. She was very positive, educated. She had a master's in psychology and was a little children's school teacher. She grew up in Brooklyn with really nothing. She met my father, who also didn't really have anything, and she actually gave up her career to take care of me and my brother. And my father went to medical school in Brooklyn. So she gave, again, sacrificed her whole life for us. And that's why I swore I would do the same for her when it was in her time of need. She was very friendly, positive. She was the first person I called anytime I had an exciting thing to tell her or even a tragic thing. I remember even 9/11, because we're from New York. I was in a law school class on criminal law, ironically talking about crime. I left they stopped the classes. I went to the atrium and everybody was just silent. Jumped in the car. First thing I did was call my mother to ask for an update. But anytime we last few weeks ago, we actually, my wife and I grew up because of my mother and father. They blasted Kenny G, Barry Manilow, and Lionel Richie in the car all the time. So after, when I was a kid, I couldn't stand it, but now I actually love it. So, a few weeks ago, we went to see Lionel Richie in South Florida, and Earth, Wind, and Fire opened up. And I didn't know, I did a little research that the lead singer who started Earth, Wind, and Fire actually had Parkinson's. Yeah, that was it. I think it was Maurice White or Brown,
It's
but
in white, yeah.
I wrote to them and they actually liked my post, which was nice. But a lot of everything, again, it sounds, I keep going back, but everything that I am today really was geared around what my mother taught me. I played guitar for about 15 years because she helped me when it was snowing, in Brooklyn snowstorms. I had nothing to do, I was going crazy in the house. And she decided to bring some, country type musician over and taught me guitar. So everything really, our life centered a lot around music. I try to teach the same to my children. But again, it was very positive. That's why it was tough seeing her go through Parkinson's, because I remember the last year too, she never showed signs of negativity or anger. And one time she threw her light into the wall just out of frustration. Because, I don't lie to my mother. We were very honest. So she would say, is she going to live? Is what's going to happen? I just couldn't. It's heartbreaking even talking about it, to tell someone you're just not sure. And we'll just keep trying and trying. So that was some of the little bit background. But again, she was really my best friend. Some people say I'm a mama's boy and I'm proud of it. So, but
Same here. Same here.
I'm 6'2" and 200 pounds, so it doesn't come. I'm a police, a law enforcement, but I would have done anything for her.
So, as an advocate now, because you are an advocate and you have a voice, my question I wrote down is, what kind of plan or advice could you offer to someone in your shoes right now?
If I was looking back to myself, they say, a few years ago, I don't think I'd be able to tell myself anything different, but I would tell others never stop ho hoping, never stop fighting, and really communication's key. Join LinkedIn. I was shocked how many of you and amazing people there are, even on LinkedIn. You thought it was just forbidden. I never even used it before a year or two ago. Instagram. But I think the best thing in the world is really reaching out to individuals, because you're not alone, and people respond. Like, this community is such a beautiful community. Because, people like you and Michael actually write back. I mean, sometimes they don't. I was shocked. Even the other day, I tried to reach out to a few celebrities. Luckily, I was able to reach some of their families. I interviewed Muhammad Ali's daughter. She was incredible. I actually re received a response from Ed Begley Jr.'s wife. And there's just so many people out there. I just don't think we're all connected. I think the big problem is that, we're all kind of out there, and thankfully, sadly, we had COVID. Luckily, we have Zoom and we're able to now communicate. One big reason I actually got more into advocacy is I started togetherforsharon.com, and it's just a website. We're not a company or anything. I didn't want to get a foundation because I'd rather support the other ones. Maybe when I have more time, when I'm a little older and have the kids are out. But I started this in memory of my mother. And I know we have approximately 1 million individuals in the US with Parkinson's, but I was shocked to find out, learning about World Parkinson's Congress, which I had never heard of a few months ago, where they had, brought everyone around the world every few years together. And you have approximately 10 million people around the world with Parkinson's. And that really not just shock me, but open my eyes that there's more people out there that need to be heard. So I thought if I could be a conduit or just someone out there trying to, you know, share their stories, that that might also help. Because I think that I might be one voice and one son and one person, but when we're all together, we have such a more stronger and powerful voice together. So that's when I decided, why don't we take Together for Sharon, but also share other journeys. And because of the World Parkinson Congress, I've been so lucky to have spoken to over 300 people in only 3 months. And I'm kind of breaking it, right? I'm taking a break because it's just, I love it. But every time I do, and this is the last thing for someone like me starting out now, there are so many people and so many inspiring individuals out there. And I just wasn't aware. And I think that's the big problem with Parkinson's awareness is we just have to figure out how to get those who aren't really diagnosed or aren't family or caretakers to also join with us. And I commend the Michael J. Fox Foundation, you know, with their efforts to the End Parkinson's Now, End Parkinson's Disease through Congress. They're doing some amazing things because now it's bringing people around the United States to really get involved, to contact their local congressman or woman and try to help support and fund more support for individuals like everyone here.
Were you in Spain this year? Did you go to Spain?
No, I had a major back surgery myself, which we won't discuss here, but I wasn't able to go. It's hard for me because of work to, and the kids to leave. I would love, I wish I would, and I've told them to offer it online because they could make a lot. It'd be a huge donation thing, too. I would have paid a lot to be able to watch online, but the rumor is it might be in the U.S. next. So I would love to be able to meet, you know, everyone. I don't even know if I'll be able to calm down there because there'd be so many people that I know but never met, and it's just it would just be a beautiful thing.
There's a lot of places now where you can insert yourself and make a difference because, I mean, even the smaller local things within communities are in Atlanta. We have the Center for Movement Challenges. That's where it started out. We just boxed in other gyms. This is a full center that needs to be in other markets, and it is a health and wellness center, mental health, nutrition, exercise, yoga, PT. So if there's things like that within different markets, those are kinds of things that, and we do educational programs for caregivers. The caregivers are invited to box or exercise or do whatever we do inside of the gym. But there's programs like that, and we can talk, you know, more offline if you want to, that you could insert your story into and your program. Things like I've written, like Parkinson's Foundation and all these other types of organizations have these places where you could go and write your story. And you can put your link in there. I can put your link on my website. There's and Michael, way more than me, but we know so many people that are big in this market. Maybe some of them you know.
In our network, you can be some great people.
Oh, I mean, even just, do you know a guy named Bill Bucklew?
I've actually reached out, but like I said, unfortunately, I'm just me. So sometimes I do find it hard to, you know, get responses.
But see, there's people who could help connect you. You know, there's...
That's my heartbreaking thing about this is I feel like I am missing out on some incredible, inspiring stories and journeys, and I just don't know.
Well, I think that we could give you some guidance to get your, you know, to help you advocate. But to me, and tell me if you would agree with this, you have a certain niche of knowledge and what you've done and how wonderful you were to her mother, that you could take that and go, there's support groups online, APDA, and mostly APDA has their groups. And one of the things that I do is I have all these Parkinson's groups on Facebook, and I'll share the podcast, and I can give you some of those too. And you can go on and you can chat with these people because you have a perspective that is a very tough perspective, but you're there. So What if you could have your ideal scenario, what is it that you could come out? What would you like to tell people, or what do you think your advocacy could be if you could broaden the spectrum?
Yeah, locally we work. I'm actually in. We're going to be having a table at the Optimism Walk next month for the ADPA. So, and also I had one at the Parkinson's Foundation, but unfortunately, a tornado literally came after we set up. So that was shocking because I love the virtual things, but being with people live is just unmatched because we usually have a table and then we're surrounded by like pharmaceutical companies. So people actually, I give out these bands for free that just say for Parkinson's awareness in memory of my mother. But sometimes people are timid or scared to come up because they think we're selling something. But then when we had one amazing couple, the husband had Parkinson's and they came up to us and they learned what we do or about my mother's story and they just cried and hugged us. And that was what keeps me going. But there's not much more I would do. The only thing is, like you said, joining together with individuals like you mean the world to me because I am still alone out there. I mean, I love doing this online, but it's just me. So, and I'm dreaming, hoping my kids someday will continue it on when I can. But, I hope we have a cure so they don't have to do that. But I
That
think
would
that.
be nice. That would be nice.
But your legacy, I mean, here's the thing, Michael hears this all the time. I'm a PR marketing person, a retired, but by trade. And I see so many, I'm thinking, what kind, not like a white paper where but like, what kind of, I think you have a lot of things you could offer people. So when you're sitting at those tables, as opposed to sitting there and giving out your stuff, you could do something on the art of caregiving. You can offer your pieces. So, do you have any marketing pieces or anything that would literally say, this is who we are, this is what we do, and here's how I could potentially, what can I offer the community?
Yeah, we
You
have that. It's like giant poster boards and things. And the main thing is I try to direct them to the website. If you, as you know, you I think you saw it, but there we have links and also a lot of the media that I've done. And also the biggest thing is the links to all the interviews because that's the my passion right now is really trying to help other people. I try to make sure that none of this is also about me. It's really just about my mother. That's why I don't even really share what my background is because it just matters. About my mother, so
Yeah,
that
but you are important. You're a humongous cog in
thank
having taken care of your mother in that wheel. I
you.
mean,
I've been called things, but not a cog.
I meant to say the cog in the wheel. I didn't say the end of it because this is very important what you've done. And I really feel like people like, well, I'm the person with Parkinson's, but right now I don't necessarily need a caregiver, but people like you have done it, and you could really reach out and I think I'm either friends with you on Instagram or somewhere, because when Michael told me who we were interviewing, I can look it up. But the thing, an interesting, I have a friend, she's not well. It's a lot of different things. She does not have Parkinson's. And
Already
one
good.
day we were talking, we were chatting, and I said, "How's Adam doing?" That's her husband. He's the caregiver. She said, "Nobody ever asks me about Adam. We need to change that."
Yeah, we had a. I have again. We would go on for hours, and then we wouldn't have time. But I'm just hiring support, like caregivers to actually help, kind of keep it. They were horrible. We went through about 7 or 8 companies, about 30 or 40 individuals. They weren't trained for Parkinson's. They took my one took my mother in our car and drove her to our house. Like crazy. I have so many stories that it's horrifying because we still had. I still had to work and. Still had to care for my family, but I had to install video cameras in her home because she thought one of them was harming her. I didn't see that, but I did find neglect at one point because she was calling. She didn't sleep just because of the all the. I mean, I saw her because of the delusions and the hallucinations, but so I had to actually had to fire someone over that because she called during the night and nobody came, which was like heartbreaking. So I have. So many stories, like you said, I'm putting them in a book now. My editor said not to talk about it, but I'm too excited. There's four chapters already, but I have a few other books. I really wanted to do one of the interviews, like Michael knows, and then I wanted to do a kid's book for my daughter because I didn't know how to talk to her what we were going through. And the last one for now is I need a book, and I feel the whole country needs the U.S. because we need one for emergency management. So, for example, law enforcement are not trained with individuals who have Parkinson's, and that's something I really want to get into. Is that I find that if you pull someone over, they don't know it's a DUI or you might have Parkinson's, and that's really a big troubling
But
problem.
see, these pieces of what you're talking about are very, very important.
They're coming, I promise. I'm only one person, so it does
Well,
take a few years.
one person can make a big difference. Look, Michael started this podcast and it year, you know, several years ago, and there's a listenership and there's reasons why we bring people like you on because you get what's happening. So the other thing I hear is that you've experienced this with the caregiver. So what kind you could do a what kind of advice can you offer people?
That's the tough part. It's hard even with all I've learned, I don't have an answer. So it's I went through several different companies. I can tell someone or teach them how to find companies, interview them, and make sure they're the right person. But there's no real way to plan for being a caretaker than to being there on the spot and really putting in the time for your loved one. I was shocked when one nurse once told me they thought I was from heaven because most families put their loved one in a home and they're never seen again, which made me really also sick. So I just can't imagine doing that to my mother. So I actually swore, and she, there were times, I'm not going to lie to you, that I thought about it maybe to just look, because I couldn't handle it. Like, we actually bought a new home, myself, my family, we were going to have her move in with us. But I don't even know if I would have been able to handle it because, again, with the delusions and the hallucinations, it was so sad and sometimes frightening. And again, I don't think anyone, even a doctor, can, when you're at to that stage, they say the stages, I don't know if it's even true, but at stage five, it's very, very difficult for anyone to. And I was kind of on my own. My father, they were divorced, but he was in New York. My brother wasn't able to do as much. My wife was sent from heaven, but she had to take care of the kids. So I was really just alone, sitting in the room. My mother really trying, and we even tried medical marijuana. We had the license, and that's really a story I could tell you. Because as a police officer, I thought I was going to be arrested, even though it was legal. But like I said, I would have tried anything and everything, gone to the deeps of dark anywhere to help my mother. Unfortunately, with that scenario, it didn't work because the doctors don't speak to the distilleries in Florida. So it's really like a try it and figure it out for yourself. So it didn't work for us. And I was hoping that would help because she was always in pain. But again, there's new things coming out every day. So I always say, keep hoping.
Hey, George, I want to talk to you a little bit about your mother and also your podcast. What inspired you to start the Wristband Project Parkinson's Awareness? And how has it affected you and others?
For what inspired me is really all of you, like everyone I've been able to meet and speak to throughout the world, not just the U.S. but throughout the world. That's really, there are nights and I just want to give up too. I'm just kind of burnt out from other things and this and that. And then I'm also just one person, so I try to be creative in my posts. I try to think, like, I have a new thing I actually just came out of. It's like the cartoon where you get a bubble, like a cloud over you, and I just got one the other night. I'm gonna call it battling, or what is it? I don't know if I remember what it was. So tough topic, something tough, tackling tough topics. That's what I'm doing. And it's just a post, and it's going to ask questions as a caregiver that I thought of that I never asked and didn't have anyone to speak to. One of them the other day, if you look, was, did you ever look into medical marijuana license and did it help? We did it, but I never really got to ever speak to anyone. Because it's almost taboo still, sadly, today. I think everyone who is going through any pain, or they should be allowed to. I'm for medical marijuana license because I
Same
don't
here.
ever be in pain, but no one talks about it, honestly. Like, I'm too scared to even ask anyone because I don't want to offend anyone. So these are, and also there's something called the Death with Dignity Act. That's another podcast we could do, but my mother suffered for the last 7 days. She was just literally laying in a bed with a heartbeat, didn't move, didn't speak, couldn't eat. It was just the worst time of my life. And even talking about it's not easy, but you know, we don't have that law here in Florida. So we just had to literally watch her and just wait. And it was just, you know, horrifying. Some states like New Jersey have it, but we treat our animals, you know, I love my animals, but we treat them better than our, you know, human being loved ones.
I just want to say on the record that I smoke marijuana to help sleep.
Yeah, that's amazing for sleep. I mean, I just think, again, if you have, for health reasons, it's safer than a lot of the drugs. In my opinion, I don't want to offend any of the medical companies, but some, like I said, when I threw out those garbage bags of medicines that my mother had to take, some days I wonder if they accelerated, you know, the entire episode, because I think she should still be here. I find in the 2023, we have such great medical, you know, technology. You should be around at least, I think I should, till like 80, 85. Some people are going strong later. And also to go back a little, there's still, we don't know if it's genetics, but I still, and my wife yells at me, but I could get Parkinson's tomorrow. So I'm not, I don't want to say stupid, but I'm not one of the people who's out there advocating, you know, just for my mother and just for awareness. I'm also advocating for myself in a way, because if I'm diagnosed tomorrow, you know, this, I'm going to be going through the same thing everyone else is, and there's no cure, and I'm not going to stop till we, you know, fight and have a cure for everybody.
Have you been tested for the gene?
No, I mean, I don't even know how you do that yet, but if I have it, I'll, you know, fight it, and I'll, you know, I learned so much from all of you that I know I already have a great support system. So
we can help. I can help. We can help you fight it, test it if you want.
Yeah, I'd love to learn about that. I mean, there's so many things. Like, that's one that, when you say that, it's another interview I'd love to do. There's so many, you know, the medical marijuana. I actually would like to speak to more politicians about the end Parkinson's disease. I know a lot about it, but I like hearing from them. And I wrote to, I had a whole campaign, sat there by myself in the dark of the night. I wrote a letter to about 15 politicians. I didn't even get, I got like one response. My local one said to contact this one, they're not my representative. Then I contacted that one, they said they're not my representative. Contact the one I already did. And I'm like, maybe I don't have to pay taxes. I asked them that, if no one even knows who my representative, just to talk about Parkinson's and ending it, maybe I don't have to pay taxes. I'm just kidding.
Well, in this community in Atlanta, for example, we did a pickleball tournament. Awesome. And it benefited the center where I box and everything. And my new thing is that I want to find a company to own Parkinson's. And because, like you said, there's so many, we call them the myths of Parkinson's. Like, I'm not drunk, I have Parkinson's, or I'm not falling down because I'm on crack. I'm just being funny, but I want to find a company here that will help us to get out the educational message and to let people know there is a place for you to go. So if you could tie yourself into an organization that could, you know, that you could work with to, I would say, to advocate your story, because your story is, you went through a lot. I mean, yeah, we go through a lot, but that's what you did was amazing. So you need to understand that the caregiver is just as important as the patient.
More important, I think the more important. We with Parkinson's, we can get very selfish because we're into ourselves and worrying about what's going to happen to us. Yeah. Sometimes we forget about our care partners. I forget about my wife for a while. We had troubles for a while. But our marriage is better than ever now. Once they realized I was just thinking about me.
It's hard. It's hard. It's like you said, it's a very self-centering disease. And people just think, oh, you're being self-centered. It's not about being self-centered. It's about, it never leaves us.
I think family is very important. The problem is, you know, my mother had nobody but me. And I mean, even some of her best friends vanished. Like, that was something that even also my wife and I talk about today. Like, the last year of my mother's life, you'd think her best friends would have been there. But they actually vanished, and that was like heartbreaking also. But you know, it's just, you have to keep going. You know, you can't look back. You have to, I was always tried to be positive, and I go home and I'm not gonna lie, there were days I would cry. And you know, I used to kickbox, so I kicked the box.
Joe, I want to ask you about the wristband project. How did the public react to it? Do you have any inspiring or touching stories to share?
Yeah, it's, the wristband was a fascinating thing. I'm happy lately that it kind of slowed down. I only give them now in person because it was getting expensive. I was sending them all around the country. So what happened was my mother passed very out of nowhere. Like we mentioned earlier, I never thought you can pass from Parkinson's. You might pass with it, but she just out of nowhere that last 7 days, and she just passed. And I'm the kind of person that I didn't think of a website, but I thought of giving something to the people who attended just so they can, like, in a way of thanks. So I, my wife said, why don't we put a band together? And I'm like, sure. So I figured I'd give it to a few people and that's it. Luckily, a lot of people showed up to her funeral. It was really hard. It was amazing because I have a lot of athletic friends, and the community came. It was probably 60, 70 people. And it was very touching. So I gave the band out. This is the band. You can see it on the website. And for some reason, back then it was my sister, it was my sister's boyfriend, but now they're married. He just sent a picture and it was the band on his hand. He just went like this. That was it. Now, I'm a lawyer and a cop. So I thought, well, that was really nice. And one interesting thing about his picture is he wasn't in it. It was just his hand in the background. And I thought maybe we should try and do it also. So what I did is I started putting the band on and going to basketball games, going to play guitar, going to Disney World. And I had the band, and it would be like this, like a picture, just the band and representing all the places my mother loved to go. And I don't know what happened. It went viral. Like all of a sudden, Willie Geist's wife from the NBC was wearing it and talking about together to Sharon. I never forget. And then it was like going to another person, another. We were being flooded, and I was not, I don't charge for anything. I paid fully on my own, which we were going to just ask for donations, and we decided not to because it was too complicated. But it really went viral, and it was an amazing thing. It happened for like 6 months, and luckily, I'll be honest, it died out because, again, I couldn't afford it anymore. But we do give them at like live events. But there was something special to me because what it says on the inside, I don't know if you can see, it says in memory of Sharon.
Yeah, so,
and it says, I'll send to you too if you need. Just send me your app. But it says Together for Sharon, and it says Parkinson's Disease Awareness. Something that little and that simple really helped awareness, and it helped me. A lot of the stuff, even talking today, again, I'm always going to be honest. Like I always say, it really helps my mental health too. So I wanted to also thank both of you again. I know it's been a journey, and I've got to know you all. But it helps me, today helps me more than you'll even ever know. I spoke once, I got the great opportunity to speak on behalf of the Michael J. Fox Foundation to my local congresswoman. I had a 3-minute speech plan. I've spoken in front of a lot of people. I have a big mouth. I have no shame, and I'm not shy.
All of us too.
But I could tell you, when I talk about Parkinson's, I fall apart a lot of the time. It's, even though it's been 3 years, it feels like it was yesterday every day. It's like one of those nightmare horror movies for Halloween where it just keeps reoccurring when you wake up again. And it just, that's going to be the rest of my life. And I'm
Groundhog fine. Day.
That was funny though. This is not fun. But, you know, so that's, so I got to the speech, George takeover, and there were other individuals on the call with Parkinson's. And I got to one. And it's on my website. I put the speech and the link and about the and Parkinson's disease now, the act. But I said, you know, I always dreamt my mother would be with her grandkids, my kids, on Sunday morning blowing bubbles because that was their favorite thing. And I couldn't even, that was it. Now I can say it, but even saying it is tough. But, you know, so it's just so much, you know, that we're limited even today. But I mean, I have a feeling we could talk for 100 hours straight, and then you wouldn't want to talk to me anymore.
Good lead in with the editing Parkinson's book for my next question. What advancements do you hope for in Parkinson's care and research? And how can other people help?
Number one, I want a cure. I don't care about anything but a cure. Because I don't want to see either of you or anyone I become family and friends with now. I've probably made about 300 new friends just in 3 months because of awareness. And I want a cure. But if we don't have a cure, I want people to be able to be tested so they are able to diagnose properly. I've actually interviewed individuals who were diagnosed with Parkinson's but don't have Parkinson's. They have Parkinsonian. You know, that disease, and that's really sad because they're taking more, again, dangerous drugs, but it's not even what they were supposed to. I have the opposite of people who thought they had something else but really have Parkinson's, and if they had caught it in time, they might have been better treated. Those are some of the things. This bill to me means more than anything because, again, I did well in life. I still work 24/7. I mean, I work from 6 a.m. to our podcast. After we're done, I'm going to go back to work the rest of the night, but I enjoy what I do, the profession of teaching. But I find the funding is critical. We have funding for other, you know, diseases, but there's nothing like this for Parkinson's, and we need it. I mentioned earlier, I mean, I spent $12,000, and I'm not exaggerating, only on caretakers to watch my mother. These people weren't even trained. They're just really babysitting while I could come in and make sure everything done properly. But that's not counting, you know, food, living and entertainment. I mean, she still was living. She loved her, you know, Broadway as a child. One of the biggest things I ever had, and I'm lucky, is my parents took me to Broadway. I love the arts. So a week or two ago, I took my daughter for the first time to see Into the Woods. And my wife is driving. She said, I'm driving her nuts because all day and night I'm singing Into the Woods. I'm still singing it days later. But you do have time, and your listeners and viewers, if you scroll down to the kind of the bottom of my Together for Sharon, the webpage, you'll see me playing guitar. What that is unfortunately a week before my mother passed, we were having a music therapy coming in from the organization that was helping us. And some weeks it was tough. She didn't want to see the person. Some weeks she loved it. You know, with what my mother was going through and the neurological issues, you just never knew. But that last week before she passed, we decided, what the heck, let's play her favorite song, which was Memory. And she took me as a child to see Cats on Broadway. So we played the song Memory from Cats, and it was really touching. I played guitar and she sang, the therapist, music therapist. And the only thing that I can tell you is that at the end, I don't know if you can even hear it on the video. I don't even know why I videoed it. Because I took a lot of video and pictures, but I won't share them over just to show if science ever needed it. What happened to my mother, I documented it. But so at the last second, my mother had not been talking or doing much. She couldn't move, but she said she loved it. And those were like the last words that she was ever able to say. And it's on video, on the website.
Yeah. Well, it's all beautiful. Everything you've done has been, you know, these are things that people should hear from you. Because I'm sitting here thinking, I don't know if I have it. And I don't know if I could have done what you did. It's quite moving.
If I could do it for every one of you, I would. I just have to figure out how to multiply everybody.
I can see you growing this out by getting other care partners involved.
Yeah. He said getting other care partners involved and maybe creating a, and I think there might be something out there, I'm not sure, but like a caregivers coalition.
Yeah. And or a support group too.
Right. That could create a support group for just caregivers.
The sad thing is in South Florida, we have a huge elderly population. I mean, Robert De Niro makes fun of us in the movies about Boca Raton. but there's nothing. There's a great, my alma mater is at Florida Atlantic University. You'll see, I actually cover a lot. I was a reporter in high school and college, a newspaper. So I try to cover their events. It's called Florida Atlantic University. And they
went to FIU.
I actually taught at FIU. My wife goes to FIU.
That's funny.
Oh, the FU, kidding.
I knew that was going to come.
What'd you say? FU. You went to FU?
I actually have, when my mother passed away, I was angry too. And I mean, we go through the emotion. I had the F Parkinson shirt. I don't want to put it out anymore because my wife always says you don't want to offend anyone, but that's how I feel.
Who are you going to offend? You're not going to offend us.
So FAU had some great events, but even when I covered them, there were only like 8 people there. So I decided to share their events throughout social media to try and get, you know, more recognition for them. But again, I spoke at Michael J. Fox Foundation. We really need them in South Florida. But a large population of the elderly in South Florida have Parkinson's. So, you know, they're just not enough right now here. But I did post the other day. Now I'm trying to get more interactive where we speak, but the problem is I don't have a time to, I feel bad. Like, sure, you all post and then someone writes, you don't want to miss them because then they feel bad. So I can't win. But I actually posted, does anyone know, you know, where their caretaker kind of, because I still think I need therapy. I'm not going to lie for this stuff, but you're all my therapist, I think. You'll have to send me a bill later.
We're giving you therapy and you're right. Giving us therapy. So it's a win-win.
Love it, but I did get to the Davis Finney Foundation. I sent them an email. I haven't heard back yet, but they do have something where the Mrs. Finney, I think, actually holds something once a month. I don't know. I sent an email. It's not really even a sign up, so hopefully they'll write back. But yeah, I mean, even up to 3 years, they don't really have anything that I know of for actual caretakers. I do go to the ones I went once or twice to the support group for individuals that diagnose, but that sometimes you don't want to do that. Like, they're actually having a big luncheon for family members in a week or two at FAU through the American Parkinson's Disease Association. But that's for people who are still, you know, alive. So I don't want to take a spot at the dinner. You know, it's like, that's not what I'm here for, but I felt like it would have been a nice event for someone like me.
But there are things out there that we find the issue with Parkinson's is there's great organizations out there. Michael O'Grady, every single one that you mentioned, Parkinson's Foundation, APDA, Michael J. Fox, Finney, Young Onset Parkinson's Network, who is the host of this podcast.
I was going to say, you had mentioned them.
Yeah. So I was getting there. And everybody, we all need to, we're all saying a lot of the same stuff, but nobody else has, none of the other Parkinson's organizations have a podcast like we do. So that's a unique thing, but we all have the same information. Mm-hmm. Check out Young Onset Parkinson's Network and become a member. You will meet caregivers. You will meet people that, you know, so many different people out there can relate to you and what you're going through.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. And like I said, everyone I meet and even interview, I learn a lot from, so I appreciate that.
George, I want to talk to you about your podcast. How's it going so far? How do you find the people to interview?
Yeah, we decided I wanted my wife to get involved because it's nicer to hear the woman point of view than just us guys. Yep. So it's been interesting. I mean, we just started it. I try to do one a month. It's 30 minutes. It's very, like, you know, it's that I, when I, beforehand, it's a disaster sometimes with technical issues and things don't start, lights don't move. And, you know, you hope that the person will be there, but it's been getting better. I guess we're getting used to it. We also have three screaming kids, two cats meowing for food, and two dogs that are loud. So, and the phone's also always ringing. So it's definitely an experience. I love it because, again, it gets an opportunity. It gives us to be able to speak to people, but really shine the light on them because it's not about me and my wife. We're moving to the third or fourth episode. I'd love to do one. Maybe we could do a dual podcast at the same time and share it in the future. We're booked up for the whole next year, but it's hard because there's so many people I want to speak to. It just, there's no way, you know, I'm sure you know that, you know, it's just very hard.
There's no problem finding people. That's not an issue.
So it's more getting everybody to get on the podcast schedule.
So I also want to, mine is a little, so not that yours isn't, but I really want to be selective as to, I think the three of us and my wife could sit in a room and talk for hours. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. I can't just have someone that we just stare at each other. So yeah. I really want to, you know, I love Deb from, I don't know if you know Deb from Drive Toward a Cure. She was our first individual and she was, I don't know, they're incredible. It's a big organization. They do race cars and different things for Team Fox and the Michael J. Fox Foundation. Next month we'll speak, last month we had a great one. Next month, we're speaking with Mark Millo. I'm sure you might know him. He's a celebrity on all the website, Mark. And he's with the Parkinson's Foundation. But it's really just a conversation. It's almost like what we do, but I don't have questions. It's just, we wing it, and it's a lot of fun.
We're winging it.
I love it. We, I love it. We, your way, but my memory isn't what it used to be, so I have to write down my questions.
Oh, I write them as I go because I'm thinking as I go, but believe me, this what the way you're doing it is exactly the way it should be. And just to make you feel better, Michael's not started the tape, the recording before, right?
A couple times
We've
I've
had to
gone
do
through
a
full interviews and at the end of it, I go, oh my God, I didn't get a
We're
taste.
like, oh my gosh, you gotta get that button pushed.
I heard it earlier, thankfully. I would have said, I hope to share this too around the world forever. And one big thing, like Michael, I might have mentioned when we spoke, is with my interviews too. I'm doing something, in my opinion, unique. Most individuals, I'm sure you both know, if you've done an interview or even a podcast, you do it, you meet, you have a great time, bye, and never see each other again. With my interviews, my goal is once I'm done, I'm going to literally start from the beginning and start again and just continue. So Michael will see his pop up literally, I'd say every single year for the rest of his life if I don't, if that's my goal. So again, it's not just about kind of getting in, doing it and be gone and that's the move. No, my goal is to continue to share it, continue to let people know what you're doing. And I really feel if we just reach even just one new person, then we've all done everything. And my heart's the same thing. And my big passion before I had got thrown in, to Parkinson's advocacy and my mother, I had a passion in my heart for victims of crime. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I'm sure you know. Seeing them, people just see the movies, but it's reality. They're a tough place, and now it's even tougher. But I always had a passion to put my life on the line for strangers, but specifically victims. And my whole life, I've dedicated my PhD. My dissertation, I'll send it to you if you want to read 400 pages. But I actually work with a group of African American mothers who've lost their loved ones due to murder, West Palm Beach. And this is way before George Floyd and all this. This is crime, nothing to do with, policing. But, and again, I don't want to get off topic, but, our criminal justice system often forgets the victims, whether it's police, corrections, or the courts. The victims are unfortunately, the families forgotten. Their loved one might not be with us. They're forgotten in the system. And I feel a lot like similar with Parkinson's. A lot of individuals with diagnosis and caretakers are completely forgotten by the medical field. And that's really what my goal is number one, to make sure people listening know there are people like me out there that are never going to stop. Like literally, I say it, some people, but I don't sleep nights trying to think of ways to get even one more person understanding what Parkinson's is. And that's the first. And number two, how really everyone really can make a difference. You just have to fight. And those are my big lessons that I've learned.
Yeah, because we fight every day to, right, to, you're fighting from the caregiver perspective. We're fighting from having the, from having it. We just happen to be a very active, physical group. I mean, all of us that are on the show, and that's what gets us through is the movement and the, I mean, I don't know if I told you this, Michael, but I just signed up to do the next pickleball tournament. I coordinated the last one. We made 10 grand and
Congratulations.
I'm waiting. I want to make 20 grand. That's going to be next year. But that's how we keep we the depression, we none of us sleep. It's all the same, it's just but it's nice to know that there's people like you out there who really care and really are going to make it, trying to make this world better. So,
So, Joe, you've had you for over an hour now. It's been a great interview. I'd like to finish off with what do you do for fun?
fun. I mean, I used to be a personal trainer, but unfortunately, when I woke up at age 42, I had a lot of back issues. I was even out for a whole year. I couldn't even do anything. But for fun, it's really just spending time with my family. They really are my rock and help me keep going when it's been, tough times. Unfortunately, I'm a workaholic. I probably get it from my father, not my mother. But I just if you love, I don't consider teaching or advocating a job because I love what I do. Very lucky to have to be able to sit with you and to have the experiences. I worked with the Coast Guard, the auxiliary, worked, I've delivered turkeys to individuals who have nothing for Thanksgiving. I drove Santa Claus around with kids for toys for underprivileged children. I've been able to sit knee to knee to people who had horrible loss. And we came out the other end learning from everyone I meet. So for fun, I think to me, sounds odd, but working and also doing this, being with you two and your whole group and your audience is fun to me. I wish we could all, you know, find the cure and move on and still have a podcast, maybe about records and how, what our favorite records are. I was really thought it was cool that the World Parkinson's Congress had Paul McCartney speaking. That was really amazing. Beatles. And, but, you know, my main thing is really, I find you have to, you both will probably agree, but you have to sacrifice things in life to get to where you want to succeed. And I think I've done that in my life. And I have a whole lot more to go. So I always say in my post, I'm just getting started. That's really the best way I can leave. And I might do a lot. You might, I try to figure out the whole algorithms of posting. Like, I don't want to post too much. I don't want to bother everyone, but then I don't want to post too little. So, you know, I'm learning, but I really swear in my life that I'm just getting started.